I invite you to come on in and find a place and join in this community. It's on a wintry morning that we like warm places to be. And so it's with that kind of a welcome that we want to be warm and welcoming in the invitation of worshiping together within the warm embrace of both the people of God and of God Himself. I'd give us just a little time to greet those that you maybe haven't had a chance to do that. And if you have announcements, please come at this time and we will make time for announcements.
More announcements. I noticed that there are still spots on the quilting workshop sign-up sheet that need to be filled up. There needs to be a lot of help to help prepare the soup things on Wednesday and kitchen help different times. So please check that out. Don't forget.
So it's Jana's birthday today, and we'd like you to sing happy birthday with us. So on three, one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Good morning. So I want to draw your attention to the MYF Treasure Hunt fundraiser that's in your bulletin. So we have this week and then one more week. So today the price of the pins go up from $2 to $5. So you lost your chance at a bargain. And now I have a clue that's listed in your bulletin. And that clue is where kids take their first step. Okay, so next Sunday, I will give the second of the two clues, and the price for a pin will be $10. Okay, currently, I think we've earned $224, so thank you. And then the winner, whoever places their pin closest to the secret location, the winner receives 4 hours of MYF labor to be determined time and date. Okay? So if you have any questions about this, you can let me know. We have set it up to be out here outside the fellowship hall. So during before the potluck, you can come and pay for a pin and place it on the drawing of the map of Zion. And whoever's closest gets the prize. So thank you.
Julie Yoder and I had quite a conversation over what the clue may mean. Which way should you take it? How should you understand the clue? That was an interesting conversation. Is Paloma in the sanctuary this morning? I haven't seen her. Paloma Soxos, This morning, the theme, the series that we're in, is one that I happen to find very dear to my own heart. And this morning's passage from which Lynn is going to bring the message is full of pictures. There will be many visuals this morning to consider as we look at this meaning. Printed in your bulletin is the passage from Colossians that speaks again about the body of Christ. Let's read that in unison. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross. Let us pray. Jesus, the one that we honor, we have come here to worship today. We're only beginners in the school of beginning. You are the firstborn of the dead. You are the harbinger of hope or despair, of hope in despair. You are the bringer of light after a long season of darkness. Begin a new thing in us today. New ways of thinking, new ways of living, new ways of being a reconciling community. We pray this together as people of peace. As a people longing for peace, your peace, peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Louise, shall we sing?
Please turn and sing the journey to number 10, the green book, number 10. Number 16, same book, number 16.
Lord, have peace, source and
Let us receive our offerings at this time. You might notice in the sections of worship printed in the bulletin, offering comes in the section of praising. Our gifts, our offerings, is an act of worship and praise to God. Let us pray. Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you, immersed in Scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supporting community, reaching out to those in need. Accept these gifts we offer. In Jesus' name, amen. I like corporate prayer. I like the time in worship that we take some time to very intentionally and purposefully in prayer. The prayer that's printed in the insert, one side is a song and the other side is this prayer. Carol Penner is a Canadian Mennonite pastor and Bible scholar, and I often read her things, and she has penned these words. Carol Penner also is the author of Mennonite Women's Devotional Study that we are using this year in our own gathering. And so monthly we are reading something from Carol. But these are some words that I think begin to talk to this sense of what does it mean to be a body connected. The illustration the other Sunday of trying to pick up something without your thumb. You can't really do it. Let's pray. Creator God, thank you that we are a connected people. We are connected in ways other generations could never have imagined, connected with wires and radio waves, fiber optic cables, and the internet, connected with roads and train tracks and airline flight plans. We are more connected with each other than at any other time in history. And yet, something isn't right. Sometimes we are overwhelmed. There are too many people to connect with. And we are so frantic in our drive to be connected that we neglect the elemental connection with those right in front of us. Friend and stranger, whose eyes try to meet us while we stare at our screens. Open our eyes and hearts to the connections you would have us pursue. Thank you for placing us on planet Earth, a world where we are inextricably connected, We breathe the air with other creatures. We walk the same earth. We return to dust like them. Help us to revel in this global family life, to nourish it, to protect it, to steward it. God of grace, there are places in this world where the disconnect between people is so deep and so wide, we don't know what to do with it. Places with walls, like Palestine and Israel and Gaza. Places with barbed wire and bomb craters like Afghanistan. Places with factions that we don't want to talk, like Syria. Places in our own homes and communities where we feel like we're speaking across a great divide. There are people in our community who are living in the land of sickness, the land of great pain, the land of depression. They feel separation and estrangement from life as they knew it. Help us to reach out, to offer your love, to be practical in our efforts to comfort. You are the great connector. You brought this great world into being. Recreate us in your image. Fill us with your uniting spirit. This is what we're praying in the name of Jesus, who came to connect us with you forever. Let us sing. The song is a familiar tune, New Words. We sang that at the conference council a week ago. And because I already knew where things were going, I said, we need to sing this. Louise is going to lead us.
If you need music, it's the Blue Book. The tune is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's 521 if you need music.
Children, please come forward. Frank has story time for us this morning, and I'm looking forward to it.
There we go. You ready? You already know what I'm going to talk about, don't you, Jack? Okay. So, in the very beginning of the Bible, there's a story. You know what the... Nice. You know what the very first story in the Bible is about? You know what it's about? God creating the heaven and earth. Yeah. And He separates the sky and the water, and He separates the light and the dark. And He makes the animals and the birds and the fish and all that. So if you think about everything that God made, what is some of your favorite things that God made?
What's...
I like the fish. I like the fish too. What? He likes the candy. I like the candy.
Peppermint sauce.
Really? That's cool. Who do you like? Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. You're a tree guy, big time. Yeah.
I like sharkfish.
Sharkfish?
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah.
Sharks. Well, I
mean,
I like sharkfish. Doesn't mean I like sharkfish.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I like
sharks. All right, hey. Go ahead. Oh, the hammerhead shark. That is cool. I remember. That's probably in this book. Okay. Got it. So, do you guys know what this book is? I grew up with this book. This is a newer version of it. It's not a Bible. It's not. It's called the New World Book Encyclopedia, and there's like 27 volumes of these, and there's great stuff. Did you know that? And this was one of my favorite portions of that book. I used to walk around and look at this all the time.
What?
You see that? You saw that. What's this right up here?
Head.
That's the head, isn't it?
Headbone.
The head. That's what my dad used to call me. Bonehead. And there's his nose. Here you go. And look, you got to sit down so everybody can see. There's this. Well, it's kind of the throat's up here, but that's the spine. And there's some ribs. You know what this red part is?
Muscles.
Muscles. It's muscles. There's muscles. The blood goes through here. I'll catch you up way up here. See this big red thing going down the middle? And the blue thing come back? That's where the blood goes?
Yeah.
What color is blood?
Red.
Red. But,
red and white.
And, yeah, red and white. And what color is it when it comes back to the heart? It's blue. It's blue when it comes back. Do you know what? Actually, it's kind of blue. Yeah, it's kind of blue. It's out of oxygen. What are these guys right here? What? What? But what are those?
The lungs.
Lungs. We got lungs going. Anybody know what this is? This one's tricky. He's right. They're kidneys. That's... You got to know a lot of stuff. How about this stuff up here inside the head? What's that called?
Brains
are good. And what's that right there? Anybody? Stomach. And these guys?
Intestines.
You guys are way smarter than I was. I agree with you. You're tied up. So that's all parts of the human body. How many parts do you think there are in the whole body? 160. What do you think?
About
pretty cool, isn't it? Fingers? 18?
170.
270? I'll bet you, I don't know because I'm not a doctor, but I'll bet you there's thousands of different parts. How many?
About 18.
There are 162 bones. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You can have this during church. Don't rip it up, though. It's not mine. All right, guys. So let's take a break here real quick and pray, and then we'll go back to our prayer. Great. Lord, thank you for making incredible bodies for us to live in, incredible things that we barely even understand that has lots of parts. Help us to live well in the bodies that you've given us. Amen. All right, guys, go back to your folks.
I am just amazed at what they know. Is that the benefit of this big screen in front of us, learning all these parts? Goodness. Our scriptures this morning come from 1 Corinthians, that passage that talks so much, and we are planning to do this with pictures, and then I will read the passage out of Romans.
God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. You can easily see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, popular or unpopular, jock or geek, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, "I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body," would that make it so? If ear said, "I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head," would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, "Get lost, I don't need you." Or head telling foot, "You're fired, your job has been phased out." As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body that you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's what you are. You must never forget this.
I'm looking for my copy. Some other words of Paul to the church in Rome, speaking the same kind of message. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts according to the grace given to us. Lynn, would you come? Our Father, we thank you that you have placed these passages in Scripture. You have given to us those who begin to help us understand them even deeper. So we ask your presence with Lynn as he shares with us this morning. Amen.
Thank you. I'm not sure I should start with an apology, but I got this Amish thing, horse and buggy, and I just, sorry about that, but if you have trouble hearing or understanding, please raise your hand or say something. I'll work harder at trying to communicate. Like Roger said, it's never an opportune time to get some kind of bug, but when you're up here, it's even worse. Now, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. That's how Paul describes the church. We are a part of the body, Christ's body. Matt spoke a few weeks ago about how we are the hands and the feet of Christ to carry on his work since he's ascended back to heaven. Today we're going to look at the unity and diversity that's among the body of Christ. We've already heard some about that from Frank. The human body is really a very wonderful thing, isn't it? It's amazing how God has put this body together and so that it functions and works together. It just blows me away. There's one body, but many, many parts. The human body is so fascinating. Sometimes we think of body as what we put in a box out in a cemetery. That's not what we're talking about today. It's not a corpse. It's very live. It's dynamic. It's living. A living organism. That's the body of Christ that we're talking about. And the physical body not only includes organs, but it includes bones. Structure, if you will. 206 bones, I believe. A few decades ago, there was a movement, if you remember, to sort of do away with structure. The organized church was kind of frowned on. So we had to reorganize and rethink about structure. And right now our congregation is in the midst. We have some fine people working on what it means to be a structured, organized, functioning body. Without structure, our body would just be a lump, right? And so it is in the church. Without a structure, it wouldn't be much meaning. Paul makes a strong case for the body as a necessary part, and every individual, every one of you, is a part of that body, a significant part. Now, if you'll allow me, I'm going to switch allegories, analogies, to a Korean box. They're all alike, right? Same shape, same length, wrapped up, pointed. Well, they're alike and yet they're different because each one is a unique color. Diversity, that's what there is. Can there be unity when there's so much diversity? Can you have diversity and unity, or are they mutually exclusive? This body, the church, comes together and it's only a short time that we are together until we begin seeing the differences among us, right? It doesn't take very long. So this next slide might show better what we are. We're worn. We're no longer good looking. We're old, used. Variety, I think, is a good thing. It provides spice in life. Just look at God's creation. Wow. All the birds, the variety, all the flowers. God is a very, very creative God who does a lot of diverse things in a wonderful way in His creation. But it's also true that that diversity can cause some struggles, some difficulties. Variety, while I said, is wonderful in God's creation. It can also bring a rub because we're different from each other. It does that even in creation. I see birds sometimes fighting with each other. Variety, but they don't all get along. Janice and I often think about our kids and how different they are from each other. We've even wondered, were they raised by the same parents? Each is unique and each is different, and so it is in the body of Christ, unique and different. Even in our differences, there's still unity, right? I think there are still crayons in this slide. Varieties, yes. Old and worn, used, tattered and torn, bent. Variety exists. That's part of it. But variety can also live with unity. And vice versa. We can have unity even if there's variety. Not to say that's easy. Remember a few years ago when lighting a unity candle became a big thing in weddings? I remember when that first got started, the bride and the groom would each take their candle, light the unity candle, and then extinguish their candles. That was to symbolize their coming one. That's fine. But now, as you know, it's changed. They no longer extinguish their candle. They light the unity candle and then let their candles exist because they are still two people. They need to learn to live together in unity and oneness. And so it is in the church. We are one, and yet we are 100, 200, or whatever. Accepting how I differ from you is one thing, but accepting how you differ from me is quite another. Let's pick up on Paul's analogy and look now at what he's saying about all members. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Every part is needed in the body of Christ. Every part. That's you. Every part. It's really a wonderful thing, isn't it? Each one contributes to the whole. Every part is needed. No part is useless or unneeded. When I was a kid, the doctor jerked out my tonsils. Big thing, normal thing in those days. Now, I'm not so quick. They think maybe those tonsils were put there in our throat as guards for the entrance of the throat. So they don't take them out nearly like they used to. No part is not needed. Every part is needed. Paul pushes this, I think, another step in the next verse, 22. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Kind of an ouch for me. I have to admit that there have been parts of the body that I have not only maybe thought, but I've even sometimes acted like that part is not important. That's not how Paul tells us. Every part is important. We know from experience that everybody, every church has their sore thumb, or is it pain in the neck? It's happened. We have them among us. Every church that I've been involved in is so. We need to learn. And even in the scriptures, here in Corinthians that we're looking at today, Paul lists the problems that Corinthian church has. When you get to Philippians, he even names the people that are causing some problems. That's where we need the real love of Jesus, the agape love. The love that is kind, love that is patient, love that keeps no records of wrong. Don't we sometimes think, though, that if a certain part of the body was missing, it might be a little easier for us? That's not how Paul views it. He says we're all needed. You know, there's the people that talk too much, the people that talk too little. There's part of the body that struggles and causes problems when there's change. Another part of the body can't hardly sit still. They want to be changing all the time. Many parts, but one body. And no part is indispensable. There is just... I'm happy that in my lifetime I've seen quite a change in how the church deals with disabilities, particularly developmental disabilities. There was a time when in my earlier years, when people didn't bring their developmentally disabled people around. They hid them. That's not so much the case anymore. Let me tell you a little story about a family that had a disabled son. His name is Chris. Before he was born, the parents were told to abort him, but they chose not to. And now the parents say, Chris has been a many time over blessing to us, in spite of his limitations. One day, when Chris was 7 years old, his dad took him to the hospital where his mother worked to pick her up after work. But she was delayed and couldn't get off right away. So they waited in the waiting room. And there was also another man there who was shabbily dressed and didn't smell very good. After a little while, Chris's dad went to the desk to find out how long it might be before the mother got off work. When he came back, Chris was sitting next to this smelly guy, and the guy was crying. And so the father started apologizing, sorry that you've been offended. And the guy says, no, no, this is the first time in 20 years that somebody has hugged me. Each part has a place. Each part has a role. No part is unneeded. Paul reminds us that there's no place in the church for division. Verse 24 and 5. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body. Oh, but how divided we have become. Part of our country, but also part of our denomination and our churches. You know how it is. Some like hymns, some like contemporary. Some like it soft, some like it loud, some like instruments, some like Acapulco, some like suggestion groups, some hate them. We're different. How can we find unity when there's so much variety and difference? Let me add another factor in this next slide. Suppose that there's major difference. These don't even fit. Now they're in the box. Does that mean they're part of the unity? They don't fit there. They're different. There's a striking difference in this picture, but they're still sameness. Still a box. Still a crayon box. One body, if you will. Don't fit well, like I say. But unity, I think, may still exist. It's going to be darn difficult because they're different. It's our commonalities, isn't it, that draw us together? You know, our faith in Jesus Christ, number one. Our affinity to the Anabaptist Mennonite confession, not theology. And the Bible is our authority. There again, we all read it, not all, but we read it differently. So it's those things that bring us together, but sometimes we struggle. My friend John Drescher, in his wonderful book, Spirit Fruit, wrote, most people know better why they stay away from other churches than why they attend their own. They are long on what they hate, but short on what they love. Long on what they hate, but short on what they love. Paul pushes this another step forward also. Verse 25. Its parts should have equal concern one for another, for each other. Another ouch for me. I tolerate some people. But if we have equal concern for everyone, I don't think it's a matter of just tolerating. We see value and purpose and good in each person, even though they're quite different than ourselves. Equal concern. Caring for some people, it's easy. For other people, it's not. Equal care, equal concern, Paul says. Imagine how much better life would be if we got to that point. And he says, the next verse, it doesn't matter if it's hurts or joys. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We have our ups and our downs. A friend of ours said, we may not all see things alike. But when one is in trouble, we're all in trouble. I think there's more than one truth in that statement. When one's in trouble, we're all in trouble because we're a body. When the body cares for one another, it's not simply just saying so, but it's doing so. Jesus made that quite clear, didn't he? He said, they'll know you are my disciples if you tell them so. No. If you love. If you do. So let's jump back a few verses, back to verse 12. For just as the body is one and many parts, many members, and all the members, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now, does that grab you kind of funny that Paul would put the word Christ there at the end? Why wouldn't he say church to carry on his analogy of the church? But I believe that for Paul, and so it should be for us, that Christ is the one that pulls the body together. He's the head of the church. And so to say, so it is with Christ, is the same as saying, so it is with the church. Jesus is our unity and our body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Unique and special, yes. But that's how it is. And that's where we learn to grow and live together. When all the colors are the same, we don't call it unity. We call it sameness. Huh? Wouldn't my life be a bore if everything was the same? Should I say this? I don't want everybody to be like Lauren, but I don't want everybody to be like me either. It's wonderful that we are different. God made us different. And we can compliment and encourage each other, even though sometimes they're rubbed. I know that. Unity is that unique relationship that uses our differences to contribute to the whole. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you are part of it. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for calling us to be your body. Thank you for all that you've done to bind us together in this unity, this oneness in Christ. Thank you for this oneness that we share among our differences and our variety. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to better appreciate our differences, to be willing to discuss them in a Christ-like way. When we are wrong, help us to admit it. When we're right, help us to be easy to live with. Teach us to live in unity, to seek peace, to live in harmony with Jesus, in whose name we live and pray. Amen.
Please turn to number 304 in Hymnal the Worship Book. 304. And stand if you're able, please.
And so let us join our spirits, formed by the uniqueness of how God made us and the experiences and places and relationships through which God has brought us, in prayer and in sharing, so that our body here might discern and know where it is that a part is either hurting or rejoicing or in need. And I'll just start with first to say thank you to Lynn for that wonderful message. And I had to think a little bit about the horse and buggy thing, but it finally got me. Thank you for bringing us that message, even while we know you weren't feeling your greatest. Also, I want to acknowledge it's great, good to have Jana back with us, and we're looking forward to the gifts, Jana, that you bring us. And let me give you the mic here for anything you'd share.
I put a note in the bulletin just because I wasn't sure I was going to be here this morning. But I want to continue our thinking next Sunday on what does the body of Christ look like when we're caring for one another. So thank you, Lynn, for your message. It's going to kind of help me launch into this sharing about Stephen Ministry that leadership here has affirmed and sent me to the training, something that I want to see us implement this year at Zion. I was with 240 other Christian people from different denominations, so Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, Quaker, non-denominational, one lone Mennonite was there. But what was so neat was we were there with the unified spirit to talk about Christ-centered Christian care in the church. And we didn't get off on our differences or what our church is doing better than yours. It was all kind of focused on this care ministry. So I'm excited to continue the conversation. Next Sunday, I will share more in my message and hope to keep you informed through the weeks and months ahead. So thank you. Good to be back.
Thank you. I'd also like to remind us of the potluck that follows this service of worship, to which all are welcome, even if you didn't bring anything. I don't remember a time where we didn't bring enough to share and even some to send home with others, so feel free, anyone, to join us for the potluck afterwards. And then the budget meeting, you're welcome to that too if you really like dollars and cents and line items and things like that. And there are other items of business as well too. So you're all welcome to those things as well. Any other joys or testimonies or cares or concerns that anyone would wish to bring to our attention this morning for our prayer? Yes, Lauren.
I would thank Lynn, too, for his message and for the extra little visuals there. But I want to ask your prayers for Vernon. He is experiencing a little bit of confusion at times, a little too much for my comfort. But I'm told this is the new norm, probably. And on Wednesday, he fell, hurt his shoulder, didn't break anything, but we're starting to rely on a wheelchair more now. So just pray for God's mercy and care in this time for him.
So let's keep Vernon in our prayers. Yes, Harold.
I have a project at home that will require some help. So I'm making an offer to four or five strong young people in this church to give me a couple hours of their time, and in return I will make a nice donation to a project of whatever needs to be done. I need to move about 275 chairs from one spot to another, and I found out the reason I need this help is because three chairs weigh exactly the same to me as 10 chairs did 20 years ago. So if you're interested in a money project of some kind, let me know. I need about four people for maybe 3 or 4 hours. And if you decide you'd like to do that, don't wear your $200 Nikes. Wear some heavy work shoes and clothes, and we'll be moving chairs from one building to another at my place. And as I said, if you decide you have a project that's necessary financially, I'll make a donation to that.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so that would be this coming Saturday or the Saturday afterwards. Yeah. So it is time sensitive. Yes. Also, the pictures of the crayons made me remember the artwork from kids in Burkina Faso out there. If you haven't had a chance to see it, when I was there, when Kelly and Dawn went with me there, I brought like a number of boxes of crayons to give out there, and that's the artwork they sent back. And the crayons stayed there, so they came looking like the first picture, and I'm sure they're looking like the second picture or more afterwards, but brought back wonderful memories both of my childhood and also of being a school teacher and doing art with kids as well. Any other concerns or cares to bring to our attention this morning? Or joys or testimonies? Yes? Okay, that's right. Right. Remembering, you know, Phyllis Adams and her memorial service was this week, on Wednesday. I think it was this week. I'm losing track of the time already. Yeah. Pardon me? It's part of the aging process. Yeah. Yes. And also for Mark and Kathy LeBaron. Kathy will have further surgery. Does anyone know about her situation currently? No. And also remember Jillian, who left this weekend with fellow students to go to Sierra Leone for several weeks. I imagine she would be in transit now. So please join me in prayer then, a prayer that will close with the Lord's Prayer, that you find the version printed in the bulletin just below the order of worship. Let's pray. You, Lord, the love at the source of all love, because you have so loved the world and each one of us and all of us together from before time, we have the courage from your encouragement to draw near to you in faith, hope, and love. Because we have a high priest who, like us, was tempted in every way, and yet who has brought our nature and our frailty up to your throne, spotless and perfect, there ever to represent us, we have the confidence to approach you this moment, you who are most holy, even with our weakness, our sins, and imperfections. We have the confidence in your encouragement to approach you, the light at the source of all light, even with our own darkness within. You give us the courage and the encouragement to approach you, the fount of all grace and mercy, even when we are resentful and fearful. You give us the courage and the encouragement to approach you, the all-powerful and almighty, even though we are weak. And because of our high priest, we approach you based on his merits, not ours, to find that his mercy and his nature are becoming ours as well. To you, our high priest, we bring the sacrifice of praise for the joys, the beauty, and the goodness that we know, the life and the health and the strength, the hope, the longing and the love that bring us here, for the children and their energy and enthusiasm and interest. Thank you for Pastor Jana's training this week and all that she brings to us and to our future together. Bless, multiply the wisdom, the knowledge, and the inspiration that she brings, and all who will partner with her in this deepening of our love, O God. This we pray also on behalf of Vernon, that you would be with him to walk through this stage of his life as well, to attend to his care and his needs in body, soul, and spirit. To you, our high priest, we bring other burdens that we cast at your feet, such as our care for Jillian and her friends in transit on the way to Sierra Leone. Bless and protect them in body, soul, and spirit. Your blessing, guidance, and inspiration we seek also for our budget meeting today. Help us to see beyond dollars and cents to the earthly treasure. Help us to see beyond the earthly treasures you've entrusted to us to the eternal and heavenly treasures where our hearts would be fixed. And Lord, bless all the discernment and sharing in that meeting. And grant that the time of fellowship, the potluck, would also be blessed by you, the food and the fellowship to the strengthening of our bodies and our bonds. And grant that the time and the treasure and talents you've lent us will multiply into an eternal wealth of faith, hope, and love, so that you might make of us, O Lord, even more the answer to the prayer that we pray with Jesus, that we pray with Jesus and all his saints everywhere, whenever we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please turn to number 119 and stand. And I'd like to do the verse B. 119b.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Give them the power.
Let us go with this blessing. Lord, send us with your blessing in our common bonds and great diversity. We bless you for such beauty, and may we bless others. Amen.